That's right, the time is now. We're starting the 8th parak of Bava Metzia. The 8-1, the time is now. So it's always now, but
there's no time like this time anywhere near this time, so this must be the time.
All true. All true. Now, what I'm referring to is, we talked about the Arba Shomrim, the four kinds of guardians, and their different responsibilities, and we said that the Shoel, the borrower, he's on the hook for everything. Since the favor is being done for him, so, and the lander's asking nothing in return, so all he wants in return is to get his object back. Therefore, unlike the other Shomrim, he is, the Shoel, the borrower, is on the hook even for unavoidable losses. The own sin is not the lender's problem. We said the exception is, A, if the way that the borrowed item ceased to be functional was because it was doing, the borrower was using it in the way that he said he was going to borrow it for. In other words, I said, can I borrow your lawnmower? He said, sure. And while I'm mowing my lawn, the thing dies. So then in that way, mesa machnas malacha, it's death as a function because of doing what the very job that was borrowed to do, that's an exemption for, I think, sort of intuitive, obvious reasons. Like, you said I could borrow it to mow my lawn. All I did was mow my lawn. If your thing obviously was defective or had a limited life left, or whatever the story is, and you allow me to do it, so I'm positive. That doesn't bother us. But there's another exemption, though, which I've referred to, which is a little mystifying, which is Baal of Imo. If at the time the borrower, and the truth is this is actually going to apply to all kinds of shomrim, but the pasuk talks about it with the borrower. At the time the borrower takes a lawnmower, or whatever the object is, if at that time, at the time the kinyan's happening, that the his chayavus, the obligation to be a shomer, kicks in, I pick up the lawnmower, I drag your cow, I lift up your book that I'm borrowing, whatever it is, if at that time, either simultaneously, the Mishnah seems to divide into two cases, but either at that time we legally rig it up, that you go into my employment, or to do me a favor for that matter, you do your contract to do some sort of service for me, at the same time, or more realistically, you were in the middle of my employment at the time that I took this thing. In other words, for example, you're busy shining my shoes, and while you're shining my shoes, I say, oh hey, could I borrow your pen? So that's the Baal of the owner of the pen, is Imo, is with me, the borrower of the pen, in a way that he's doing malacha for me at the time I borrowed the pen. So when I pick up the pen, you're already in my service, shining my shoes. It doesn't matter what you're doing for me. You're watering my lawn, you're making me breakfast, it doesn't matter. And that is true whether the job you're doing for me is a favor to me, or I'm paying you to do it. So if you're shining my shoes out of the goodness of your hearts, right? You're watching my baby as a babysitter, as a favor to me. And while you're watching the baby as a babysitter, I say, oh, by the way, can I borrow your car? And since you were in my service at the time I borrowed your car, that's considered Baal of Imo. The owner of the car is with the borrower of the car at the time the car was loaned out, and with him, meaning not just physically present, but in his service. So then, the borrower is totally exempt from responsibility of paying back if something goes wrong. And not only is he exempt of paying the shoel, the borrower, it applies to all four of the shomrim, even if it's a shomer sachar or a shomer chinam. And not only that, it applies to whatever kind of bad thing happens to the bar lomor or pen, whatever it is, whether it's a onus or even a gnev or a veda, meaning a foreseeable loss, or even a pshia. The Shulchan Aruch posits even pshia, if I'm just totally negligent with the lomor that I borrowed from you, at the time I borrowed it from you, you were shining my shoes, and you let me borrow it, I'm off the hook. So that, we've spoken out, is mighty hard to understand.
Suppose I borrow your car, and I get drunk, and I go out and smash it up.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yes, that's right. If I say, can I borrow your car? And you say, sure. And I say, oh, wait, before I take the keys, do me a favor. Can you please agree? Can you please agree to watch my house while I'm not, careening around in your car? You say, sure, no problem. I'm paying you, I'm not paying you. Then I'm somehow off the hook now for whatever I do to your car.
Wow.
Yeah, yes, it's a very difficult to understand din. This was the din that Rav Lundis referred to. I've heard that conversation a few times. This is what he alleges is the only din in Choshen Mishpat, or he alleges, only claims was the only din in Choshen Mishpat that doesn't really seem logically compelling. Like, why? It seems like illogical. Like, why? It seems totally arbitrary.
Isn't it the same as forbade received? Because that's the whole basis of the English law.
No, it's not for value received. This is something totally different.
He's doing something.
There's no quid pro quo whatsoever here. There's no. I'm borrowing your lomar in exchange. First of all, you're on two levels. First of all, the whole transaction is structured as a quid pro quo. It's not I'll give you something, you get me something, right? It's just it happens. The two things are unconnected. This totally disconnected. But more than that, just think who's doing the good. But it's not quid pro quo. You know, I give and you get. It's not like that at all. It's I give and I give again, which is even stranger. I'm agreeing to shine your shoes, and I'm agreeing to let you borrow my car. So no value received for the car owner and the shoe shiner. Unless you want to say, yeah, there's no value received. Unless you'll come on, one of the explanations given, this is a little far out, I don't get the explanation, but unless you want to say that really the Torah had in mind that he's getting employment, and he's, in exchange for his employment, he's like providing an extra perk of borrowing the car, and then the kash will be, well, it's clear from the Gemara, it doesn't need to have employment, it could be a favor for free, and then the teretz will be okay. The Gemara made like a the halacha Torah made a uniform rule, regardless of whether our compensation is being received. That's one of the answers given, but it's not going to be safe to satisfy.
Is it possible that this guy seriously was mistaken? I mean,
who the Torah is mistaken?
No, who's bringing down this halacha?
The Torah says it. The pasuk says. I'll read you the pasuk.
Oh, it's the pasuk.
The pasuk says. No, sorry. The pasuk says. Where is the pasuk here? It's Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel.
Can you write that down?
Okay.
22:13.
Exodus 22:13. Parshas Mishpatim. What is that in English? Right. They don't translate that in English. Sidra Mishpatim. It reads like this. V'chi yishal ish mi'im re'ehu. And if a person borrows from his friend, yishal is from Sheila. He borrows from his friend, not paying. V'nish borrow meis, and the thing which he borrowed gets broken or it dies, balav ein imo, and the owner of the borrowed object, the balav, weren't with him, so then shalom yishalem, then the borrower shall pay whatever it is, he's obligated for everything. That's the din of a shoal. Im balav imo, however, if the owner was with him, lo yishalem, then he won't pay. And with no, it doesn't mean that. But it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. But no, it does not mean that though.
If he's with him in the car.
No, it does not mean that. What it means is he's with him. Wait, listen, you can go to Karaite school later on, but today we're hanging out with the Pharisees, and we believe the Torah Shabbat, and it says we understand this mission. We understand this pasuk to mean Baal of Imo means with him in some sort of malacha, and it's with him at the time of. At the time the kinyan took place. In other words, as opposed to, I'll say other things. I'll illustrate. What I said is all there is to say, but I'm going to illustrate all the things I don't mean so that it's clear. In other words, if, for example, I borrowed your lawnmower, that's it. And then, later, I and you, okay? You, I borrowed your lawnmower, okay? And while I'm out mowing my lawn with your lawnmower, so there's no baal avimo there. It was just a single, simple borrowing. While I'm out there, you come out to see how I'm doing, and you offer me a cup of lemonade. And I say to you, so now we're talking, and I feel as I'm mowing my lawn, drinking lemonade. And I say, you think this lawnmower can handle those weeds over there? And you say, yeah, sure, no problem. And I say, great. And I like mow over the lawn, and it breaks. I'm chayav.
Makes sense.
I'm chayav. There's no baal of emo there. The fact that you're with me, and that you were drinking lemonade with me, and you were smiling as I did it, and you said, yeah, it'll probably be just fine. Doesn't matter. I'm still on the hook for it. So baal of emo doesn't mean like that. Okay. On the other hand, if technically at the time that I borrowed the lawnmower, you happened to be doing whatever nominal service for me, even if it was a totally, you know, you were tricked into it. I don't know. If I said, wait, before I borrow your lawnmower, do me a favor. Agree that while I'm borrowing your lawnmower, you're going to be in charge of, I don't know, making sure that no one breaks into my house. And you say, sure, no problem. So now I say, fine. So I take the lawnmower. Since at the time I took the lawnmower, I said, at the time I take your lawnmower, you are agreeing to be a shomer and watching no one breaks into my house. You say, sure, no problem. So now I'm totally off the hook. Even if it was only to watch my house for 5 minutes and I only start mowing my lawn in 10 minutes after that. And even if You know, so you're not with me at the time, and you weren't in my employment at the time it happened. None of that. Just all that matters is that take it as read. For now, that's a fact. Take it as that as long as at the time that I made the kinyan, the act that would be mischayev me, that obligated me to be a shoel, a borrower, the normal rules of shoel apply. If at that time you were doing me some sort of service, paid or unpaid, so then at that time, either it was it was an event that was continuing on into that moment, or if we even constructed it, you know, with some weird legalism, which says, when I pick up the lawnmower, that's when you're responsible now all of a sudden to do me the favor of agreeing to wash my car. So then, at that minute, then you're a bail of emo, you are the owner being with me, the borrower, and therefore I'm off the hook for everything.
Even if the guy didn't actually perform the act, like, he says, wash my car, but he didn't do it until later, like, until after it was broken.
No, that would be the case. He has to be doing some malacha with him, for him at the time.
So he says, I'll borrow your lawnmower, the one I want, but you've got to wash my car. And the guy says, sure, you go break his lawnmower. He didn't get a chance to wash.
Right, we actually had this mission. I'll remind you, we had a mission like this. I'll remind you where this topic came up most recently, and I was like, we'll discuss Nath Perek, which came eventually, you know? Okay, we found it. The case was examples like, you watch my thing today and I'll watch your thing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So we said that was called the Shomer Sachar. Not, even though I say, you watch my thing for free today and I'll watch your thing for you tomorrow for free. So we said, still, in that setup, the each watcher, each Shomer, is a Shomer Sachar paid guardian because he's getting compensation. His compensation, his value received, his remuneration is that I'm getting, you're going to, the watcher's agreeing that he'll have his thing watched tomorrow. So he's getting right. I mean, it was just to flesh it out. You asked me to babysit for you today, and I say, sure, no problem. Well, I forget babysit, it's weird, it's people. You asked me to house sit today, and I say, no problem. But if you agree to house sit for me when I go to France next week, you say, sure, no problem. So when I'm house sitting for you today, my payment is you're gonna house sit for me next week. So I'm a Shomer Sachar, and then I'm responsible for Kenev and Aveda. Then I just said, in passing, by the way, I said, this wouldn't be true if we jiggered it that simultaneously as I'm watching your car, you're watching my car. Because that would be called Baal of Emo. And then you started getting a little uppity, and I was like, please, let's discuss it at the affair. But that day has arrived. So this is the case. If we agree, when I pick up the car keys, we're agreeing. I'm watching your car, and you're watching my car. Or I'm even washing your car and my car, watching you're washing my car and your car wash. Any of the above. Doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter if it's just a show. It can be even Shomer Sachar. That was, we saw a mission of the person doing the melacha, the artisan, he's chayav as a Shomer Sachar. Any of the above. If we're doing work for each other simultaneously or anything like that, then it's a baal of emo, and the borrower, or really the Shomer, whatever he is exempt from everything. That's just how it is. Now that's a little mysterious, but I'm just telling you, like, that step one is, yeah.
So person A asks person B, can I borrow your car? He says yes. He says, okay, when you take my car, can you just drop me off here before you,
Well, there's too many he's, I don't want to make sure. Okay. No, we had that pronoun. No, it's important here.
Ruben says to Shimon, can I borrow your car?
Shimon owns the car, yeah.
And Shimon says, yeah, but can you just drop me off so and so?
So who's doing the driving and dropping off?
Ruben borrowed the car.
Yeah, but that's not the case here. That's not.
Now, so when Shimon's in the car with him, what is he? If he gets into an accident,
is he doing something for Shimon or not?
Yeah, so he's a shoel. He's a you know what? He is probably then.
He has to pay for the car by dropping.
A Shomer Sachar, yeah. I guess maybe, put away a good point. He's probably a socher. Good point, I like that better. He's a socher, and he's a renter.
Because he's paying the thing by dropping him off.
Right, but that's not our case at all here. Our case here is the other way around, so to speak. Our case is, just to illustrate, you asked a good question, that's a good case. Reuben says, Shimon, can I borrow your car? But I want the car rental to begin when you're driving me to where I want to go. You're going to chauffeur me also. I'm saying that's the case. And Shimon says, sure, I'll be your chauffeur and let you borrow my car. And the car borrowing shall begin when I start driving you. Okay, that's weird, but that's what happened. That's our case here. Then all of a sudden it's Baal of Emo, and therefore when they get to the first destination, and then Shimon gets out the car and goes on his merry way, or not, doesn't matter, then and Reuben crashed the car, or the car gets stolen, or whatever it is, he's putter. It's Bali Bima.
There's no time limit. You can borrow for like 6 months, and then like 6 months later after this incident, he's still emo.
Right. And what actually matters, yes, all that matters is one thing. At the time the transaction began, at the time that the chayvus, the obligation to become a shomer kicked in, if at that time the lender was in providing some sort of malacha for the borrower, then the borrower's off the hook.
So doesn't need to persist. This loophole, why would everybody borrowing something try to get the guy they're borrowing to do some sort of malacha so they're off the hook? You know.
Maybe they do for a while.
I mean, you know, if this is such a clear cut off of
a thing. That's a fascinating question. But I haven't got a good answer for that. But anyways, that's what Mishnah's headed with this. Okay? So what I suggest we do is first I said you put the pasuk in the background and the halacha l'maaseh. So let's learn the Mishnah, and then after learning the Mishnah, at least I've tracked down an excellent work called the Renard Edition Encyclopedia of Targum Mitzvahs. I'm a big fan of it. I think only three volumes are out. This is in English. I think there's a Hebrew one also.
Well, the reason is because they couldn't raise the funding and they abandoned the project.
Right.
So that was called.
Right. I heard the same thing. Although it's a little hard to believe in as much as you have like the amount of donors. Anyway, no Mishnah. Point is, if anyone ever sees volume Dalet, please buy it for me. I'll be happy to pay you back. Anyways, I only have three, so they only have Mitzvah, I think, up to 71, right?
If you let me borrow your car.
Which one do you need?
Dalet. Anything
which
past,
one you need?
Anything past Gimel. I have the first three. The first one says the first one. The second one's called the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, Ten Commandments.
And that one came out first. Right, and then the third one is called the Mitzvahs 39 to 71, which is basically Mishpatim.
I thought they only had 39 to 71 and the Megillah.
The Megillah? You mean the Ten Commandments?
No, they have Ten Commandments, 39 to 71, and then Megillah. I thought those were the three.
Megillah.
Two of the Megillah, the Ruth and Esther, I thought. That's what I thought they did. I don't know, maybe I'm mistaken. Anyway.
Maybe it's two different things. This is goes through each mitzvah one at a time.
Okay.
Or they might have Megillah.
Oh, well, they haven't. Right. Yeah. I'm blending themselves.
The Aseret Dibros was number was the first one.
The one that came out, the Aseret Dibros. There's 14 mitzvahs in the Aseret Dibros. It's a craft all to itself. Those are pretty complex and important mitzvahs.
I also have those in bars that you can buy.
Oh, right.
You could buy one at a time.
So that's something else. Those are very good. Okay, the little sikums are very good. The whole thing is, it's an excellent work. Anyways, so at the back of each mitzvah, they give like all sorts of things, including explanations and unim and explanations. So reasons for the mitzvahs, tamei mitzvahs. So I found it in the back. Luckily, it's in Mishpatim, and I found it in the back, and I will read you. They bring five different answers, five different explanations. Everyone grapples with the problem. It's a problem. At least they give something, so I'll read you from that at the end. Now, first, let's do the mission side. Are we on here? Yeah, we're on. Okay, so the mission says, so it's at least perfectly clear. I understand it's ultimately unclear if you don't know why, but at least the mission should be perfectly clear. What it's saying, the din, mission is divided into three parts. The first part is going to be saying if the Baal of Imo, the service provided, is happening simultaneously with this chayvus, the taking on the obligation to be a shoel, it's simultaneous, then it's called Baal of Imo. You'll see Gemara, you'll see that inside. Then, however they worked it out legally. The second case, which is probably the much more reasonable and likely realistic case, is there was some service being provided. Reuben was providing some service to Shimon. And while Reuben was being Shimon's shoeshine, all of a sudden Shimon said, "Hey, can I also borrow something else of yours?" And it was in the middle of the employment is when Shimon borrowed something from Reuben. Yeah, that's it. Whatever, yeah. And then the third, and that those are both called Baal of Imo. The third case will be the Baalim come to work for that matter, come to visit the borrower after the obligation to be a shoel kicked in. And at that point, it's not going to help. So Baal of Imo does not mean something like abstract, like he's with him at the time, we work for him afterwards, or they, whatever. It doesn't mean that.
The second one is like he's at his car mechanic, and he's trying to get the borrower
to. Right, exactly. Yeah, correct. So it's, I should just caution. You'll be able to come up with all sorts of scenarios where it all seems to make a lot of sense, like that. Then it seems so straightforward, though, right? You're fixing my car, say, can I borrow your wrench? You say, sure. And then I come back and say, oh, you won't believe this, but I wanted to use your wrench to open a can of paint that was stuck in a broken half. That's not normal usage of a wrench. It could be arguing because it's Pshia. I don't know, yes or no. Point is, all the above doesn't matter, because Baal of Imo, it's Baal of Imo. So if you don't like it, you can say, oh, he was looking or wasn't looking, he agreed, didn't agree. None of that's important. All that matters is
what I told you.
That's how Chazal understand it. Chazal understand it based on, I guess, because...
In that case scenario, you say emo.
No, I'm telling you how Chazal understand. I guess the reason why is because it's very difficult. If you, they're understanding that it has to be at the time the transaction is occurring. So it's hard to imagine a normal scenario where the bialav wouldn't be with. It's hard to imagine the Torah talking about a case, or what the case would be, where I'm borrowing something from you and you're not present at the time I'm borrowing it from you. What is that supposed to mean? Yes, you can construct with weird cases, but I understand. But the normal case is, like, the. Yeah, it is. You can think of lots of weird things, but indeed, in the Torah's world and in Torah's time and Chazal's time and everything subsequent until like weird worlds of telephones, it's hard to imagine the Torah saying you barred his ranch and he wasn't there at the time. That's not the barring. That's called stealing.
I see your son. I see you. Ask your father if you can borrow
your ranch. That probably wouldn't work. The Chazal's understanding the Torah to mean that Imo doesn't mean that. Imo, it can't mean he's with him at the time of the transaction, because you need the guy with you to do a transaction. Therefore, it must be something else. It must be that he's with him in terms of some sort of service. That's what they're understanding.
If you guys have six auto shops, and you rush a car into one of them, and then later that day, one of the other ones, can I borrow this rent that belongs to you over here, but I'm not with you at the time.
I didn't understand your exact case. It doesn't really matter. I'm not disagreeing that you can't come up with a case that it couldn't be like that. I'm just telling you, Chazal, I'm looking at it like that. Chazal understood this pasuk. Chazal out of a Torah from Sinai, that Baal of Imo means with him in terms of employment. Like, I can't help that. I can't change that. I can't. There's no wiggle room on that. Right? There's no a second opinion. There's no, like...
You're admitting yourself that the employment in Chazal's time meant physically within the vicinity. That was the employment of that. There wasn't this long-distance telephone or internet.
Yeah, so therefore...
So Imo then was physically with him.
No, but so the Torah is saying if he's with him or not with him. So I'm saying, without coming up with some weird case, the Torah is not talking about, if it says, I borrow your wrench, how could you not, how could the time of the technical, not the taking the wrench off your premises per se, but the beginning of me becoming a shomer as a shoel, happen without you being there? You're the counterpart, you need to be present at the time.
Right.
So therefore... So follow the thought. No, don't. You're just confusing the issue. No, really, just hear the. You're not hearing my point yet. Since obviously, when I'm borrowing your wrench, you're there and I'm here, and you're giving me the wrench. So why would the Torah say you're with me, you're not with me? So therefore, the Torah's not talking about when it says with me. It doesn't mean with me physically. It means with me in terms of some employment. That's how the Torah is meant to be understood. So say Chazal. So I'm with you that it's difficult. This is not the first time we've discovered, some worms under this rock. This is a problem. But in any case, I'm just telling you that's what this is saying. So that is the Mishnah and the Alpha. The inside the Mishnah says, and then I'll read you the look here. It says, "Asholas apara, if a person, I borrow your cow, vishal bala ima, and at the same time I'm borrowing your cow, I'm also borrowing your services." I say, listen. So the case would be, it's weird, but let's say that's how it is. When I pull your, to make a kinyan on the county through Mashiach, take the reins and whatever, I walk it along. So I say, listen, when I take the reins, you're also going to agree to become my auto mechanic. It doesn't matter what, right? You're going to agree to some of the work for me also. You now become my lackey. So then, and you say, sure, no problem. So now I borrow your cow by taking it and by walking it. As I'm walking it, that affects also the kinyan simultaneously. Okay, that's one way it could be. Okay, so the point is that I'm sha'al ba'ala ima. So in English, it's a little, I want to make sure that you see the words precisely in Hebrew, because it's important. Because it is important. Sho'el means borrowing and not paying. Right? So that's, ha'sho'el ha'sapara, that's already like a key technical term, means that the person borrowing the cow is not a socher, not a renter, he's not a shomer, he's not a, like a shomer chinam, like a guardian. He's a shoel, he's a borrower. So I'm borrowing your cow because you're doing me the favor. That kind of. You're not paying me, I'm not paying you anything, I'm just taking your cow. Vishal bala ima means, and I also borrow your person, so to speak, meaning you're doing a favor for me. The Mishnah is saying that even if all that you own the cow are doing for me is some other unpaid service for me, a favor to me, sachar bala ima, or alternatively, the Mishnah is saying, if instead of you're not doing me a favor, you're actually doing a job for me that I'm paying you for. So in other words, we agree that you're responsible for whatever it is, watching my car as I leave your premises, and your obligation to be the shomer of watching my car is leave your premises with your cow, is the second that I take your cow into my possession by Mashiach or whatever it is, and you agree and you're being paid $5 an hour to watch my car, or wash my car for that matter, so then that will be the din will be Baal of Imo, and then the borrower, the shoal of the cow, wherever it is, the lawnmower, the pen, etc., will be putter from everything. Now, that's case A. Case B is Shal Habalim Oscharan. First, step one is, and it was set up simultaneously. Step one is, I ask you to do me a favor. You're painting my house. Okay? Or, doesn't matter what. Or, I'm paying you to paint my house. And, Ula Afrakach, and while you're painting the house, I come in to you as you're busy painting for the day, and I say, can I borrow for your cow, which is sitting there, but with you, whatever it is, for argument's sake, or not. So the step one is the employment or the favor. And then it's, you know, was that present perfect tense? It's continuing on, the employment. So the favor is continuing on. And in the middle of the process, I borrow your cow or your pen or anything else that matter. And then the mesa, and your cow dies. So that's the second case where, again, Baal of Imo, you're with me in terms of you're doing some service for me at the time I borrowed your cow. So if the cow dies, patur, I, the borrower, I'm exempt from whatever happened to the cow. Whether it was Mesa Kedarka, that was the onus, or Mesa Mafas Malach, which would have been Patar anyways, or even Pshia, I decided it would be fun to walk it across the interstate, and the car got slammed by a car, not surprisingly. In all those cases, I'll be Patar. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, Im Baalav Imo Lo Yishalem. If the owner, Baalav, of the borrowed object, is with Imo, with him, the borrower, in some kind of Malacha, some sort of service, at the time that the borrowing happens, lo yishlem, the borrower shall not pay again, even for pshia, and certainly for gnei b'deveda, or even onus. And it comes out from the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch Pas that way, not just shoel, but also certainly people who would be less chayav, like a shomer socher, a shomer chinam, or a socher, a renter.
So there's no way this is only a double meaning.
Sorry.
No. I understand with him in employment, but also.
No, doesn't mean that. Nothing to do with him. Right. Yes.
Why do you use the plural
Baalim? Because I guess from the Pasuk. Pasuk says, the Pasuk says Baalav. Well, Baal. I don't know offhand, but it. I guess it always does that. Now I'm thinking about it.
There's other references in the
same. Ba'alav. Well, the pasuk is plural, right? The pasuk is plural. Ba'alav is really like, that's a plural word, right? So maybe just pasuk panning off. Ba'alav with a yud vav is like ba'alim shalo, right? Instead of ba'alo. So maybe the answer is just it's following the pattern of the pasuk. Yeah, so I'll stick to that. So that's a straightforward answer. That's according to the pasuk in the Mishnah. Yeah? Okay, so that's that. And aval, however, so this is the case, so it's counter, like I'll call it counterintuitive the other way, if you will, which is aval shol esapara. If step one, I borrow the cow from you, and at that time, our relationship is only that I'm the borrower, so I'm on the hook. Va'achar kach shal esabalim. And after that, then we come to some separate agreement. Oh, not only going to borrow your cow, I'm also going to ask you to do me a favor and, you know, carry my books for me, or scharon, or I'm going to pay you to wash my car, or any of the above, it doesn't matter, the mesa, and then while you're washing my car, or you're carrying my books, or I ask you, do me a favor, and you hold the plow while the cow is pulling it, and you're right there. Even so, chayev, I, the borrower, chayev, even though you're present physically, and you help me move the cow, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Shteimar, as the pasuk says, baal of ein imo, if the owner of the borrowed object wasn't with him, in employment, in some sort of service, with the borrower at the time that the borrowing began. I'm putting all these words in because that's how Chazal are looking at it. Then shalem yishalem, then the borrower shall certainly pay regardless of what happens, because remember, shol is paying for anything, even for onus and certainly for avoidable loss and all the more so for. All that matters is that he was with him at the time that the. With him in employment or service, doing some lacha for him at the time that the loan was made. Yeah. loan bond
debt. Regular shoal is high for onus.
Regular shoal is high for onus.
So if I borrow your drill and it breaks in my house, by mistake, I didn't do anything. It just
chayav. Lightning struck it. Yeah. The only time, remember, just I want to clarify. So you're not, yes, you're a chayav. If lightning struck and tsunami came, you're chayav. You know, if you're only not chayav if while I was drilling in, you know, you knew I was going to drill into drywall or steel. It doesn't matter. The point is, we agreed I'm drilling into steel. And at the time I'm drilling into steel, then you know whatever your drill's engine seized up or the drywall came. Then you said I could. So what do you want from me?
That's what we're talking about. That's what
we rented
for.
That's what I borrought it for. So they borrowed it for.
Right, because I heard
you. You can always say. You can always.
Normal usage,
I just want to clarify. No, that's normal usage. I was using it at the time. I just want to clarify. It means that I'm drilling. I say, do you mind if I take your drill to steal through copper tubes? You say, sure, no problem. And I'm stealing through copper tubes, and apparently that wasn't good for the drill, or couldn't handle it, or drill had its own, you know, had its, it died. Drill died. I'll say, listen, bad news. Your drill melted down because obviously copper was a bad idea to drill through. So I'll be part there.
If you ask the guy, can I use your lawnmower to go through those bushes? And he says, yeah, you can go through. You're responsible. Didn't you just say that before? You're using the borrower's lawnmower.
Well, I made it two steps.
That was the first
you don't want to get nitpick on my words so much, but I'll say what I meant. I'm going to clarify what I said. I borrowed your lawnmower. Then you came over to bring the lemonade, and while I'm busy lawnmowing the lawn, I said, oh, you think it'll make it over that? And you say, sure. That, right?
So if he didn't want you to use it for that, he would say, no, don't use it. I just told you to mow your lawn with it. But if he's saying, yeah, you can go through over there.
Okay, fine, agreed. Okay, fine. I take it back. If it has to be, so I'll take that back. It has to be that it died in a way that, indeed, if I was using it the way that you said I could from the outset, I'm not sure if the rule, I didn't want the rules to change. I wanted it, like, what I meant the example to say is, like, I asked you for your opinion later on. Like, you think you can also make it over that? And you said, yeah, probably. And apparently it can't. But we never agreed on that.
That thing has no effect on what you...
Right, you let me borrow... Yeah. We said we're doing my lawn, and you decided to go over, you know, decided to do weeds also. That's what I meant to get at.
That wasn't normal use.
Correct. That wasn't what you agreed upon. Right, what you agreed upon. Again, you can do whatever... I could say, listen, you can borrow my drill, but obviously whatever drill bits break you're replacing, then of course that's also acceptable.
Said, but I get the normal use part. Then
you
said that copper wasn't a good idea. Was copper normal use?
No, well, it's not a measure of normal use here necessarily. It's agreed upon. That's right. So I said, do you think I can cut through? Can I borrow your drill to drill through copper piping? You say, sure, no problem. And then I come back and say, oh, I guess copper piping was a bad idea because, yeah, it didn't make it, didn't survive.
That might not be normal use.
Yeah, because you said I could do it. Yeah, I asked you.
I just heard this from somebody that people have borrowed some of those power tools and they came back and it was broken. And they said, damn, I love it. They said, well, it broke during regular usage. There's something wrong with your thing, and it happened to break now.
Right, right. That'll be the din. That's the din. But just here, as opposed...
Disclaimer, though, can you say, I don't care what happened?
Yeah.
It's not functioning. Don't give me any excuses in your paper.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
But that's one of the shows is spice, no?
Well, it's not except for two things. One is Mesa Kadarka. Normally, it died while it's being used. For the thing I said I'm using it for, then I'll be exempt. That's A, that's the case we're talking here, or B, this thing we talked about a few moments ago, which is Bala Vimo, which is a weird case.
But you can make some disclaimers, right?
You can agree ahead of time whatever you want. You can say, you can go both ways. You can say, you're responsible no matter what. I don't want to hear about Mesa Machas Malacha.
You can override that alphabet.
Yes. Yeah. This is like the default position. But you can say, either way, you can say, The lender could say you're responsible for anything, even Misa Machs Malacha, even if it dies. Right. And if you don't like that, so don't borrow my drill. But I want the drill back. I don't care. I want to hear you come back saying that the drill was old and rickety. I don't care. And on the other side, I can say, listen, I'm borrowing your drill, but I'm only borrowing it from you on condition that I'm not chayav no matter what. And you could say yes, right? Like we said, so that also, whatever you agree upon, you agree upon. We discussed that last week, the end of last week, about why that's not being masked, not making conditions against the Torah. The Torah's not insisting on these rules. It's just setting rules. For financial agreements, you can change them as you want.
If you borrow it to drill for concrete, instead you drill for plastic, and it breaks. I mean, you didn't use it for what you borrowed it for, but you used it for lighter duty.
So that would be okay. It would just have to be proven. I just want to speak it out. Yes, it would be. That'll be. You would be able to. We saw them also indeed that you'd be potter for it. But I don't speak out. It has to be that there can't be any angle about drilling through plastic, which makes it more.
Yeah, melting.
Alulu, or more, you know, what's it called? Liable to damage. Yeah, remember that was the example of like barring the thing to go up on the up to the mountain and down to the valley. He said, listen, if the thing overheated, well, anyway, the valley is hotter, so and I took it to the mountain, so you said I could do it. On the other hand, if it slipped, well, I said the valley and the mountain is slippery and vice versa. Right? So it has to be, I can imagine, it could well be that if would be that plastic, when it gets hot, it melts and becomes sticky, and that can come up the works. Then, of course, that's not going to cut it.
If you can prove it was light and work, whatever.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. If you can say,
hire a donkey to carry 20 pounds of something, and you're only using 5 pounds.
Right. Correct. Provided that, we saw the mission also, that the 5 pounds isn't something that's very large. Yeah.
25 pounds a week, but now you put 5 pounds a week, and it's still...
Correct. Exactly. That's the point. Exactly. So you're agreeing to, so to speak, a maximum. But just remember that it has maximum in all its parameters. In its volume, in its weight, in its... Yeah.
Yeah, so you raise 20 pounds, and you only 10, and then 10 again. That's two uses. Maybe two uses is not...
Oh, that would be no good. If presumably the agreement would be you're barring by the day for multiple things. But indeed, if you specify, can I use your donkey one time to take one load of 20 pounds, and then you say, you know, taking it two loads of 10, then perhaps you'd be five. Yeah, indeed. Okay, but the principle is clear. The principle is perfectly clear here, right?
You'd think everybody would agree that if the two are together, borrow a little and in the complete sense that if there's a problem, together.
It's hard to say what makes complete sense. The rules seem sort of a little bit, to me, whatever rules you make, it seems kind of arbitrary. In other words, like let's say there's no Torah, there's no case, there's no nothing. So just, you know, we set up Utopia and we're setting up shop over here and we're starting from scratch with our laws, and I say, can I borrow your axe to chop down my tree, and you're say, let me finish chopping on this tree. You chop your tree, then you give it to me and I chop down my tree. We're standing together. And then your axe breaks. I'm just saying you're with me, you gave it to me, you were present.
You're talking while you're borrowing his axe.
So is it so logically, like, can you not hear the two lawyers in the court with those two guys? And the one guy saying, you let him borrow it, you agreed to him chopping the tree, you saw the thickness of the tree when he did it, you were there at the time, you didn't object to it, for sure you agreed to him to do it, and you should have, he's not on the hook. And the other side of the story is, listen, you let him borrow an axe. I was doing you the favor. I didn't tell you to break it. I didn't know that it was going to be hard, and I expect my axe back. You broke it. I'm doing the favor. You owe me an axe back. Like, I don't know if that's saying logically compelling it away. Like,
the issue is, I don't think it's about all the minutiae. I think it's about the bigger picture. It's they were together. It's this connection between them. Together, they're almost like the partners.
But they're together
energetically, even when... There's a different relationship.
Okay, but they're together in a very specific way, which is actually some of the force from gold on the truth, which is that the lender is also like the lender is also the, I'll call him the underling, for lack of a better term, the underling of the borrower. I mean, he's like, he's in his, if we have the social totem pole, you're the person who owns the object, the lomar owner, is on the lowest rung because he's cleaning his shoes or painting his house. So some people want to learn that's the issue. That is the issue. You can't have it both ways.
But
they're not the physical together is not the point. Remember, in other words,
now they're friend. They're not underling and overling.
But I know. But let's. I just want to make sure you understand what you meant together. Just make the. You live in Timbuktu. I live here in Beit Shemesh, and I see that you've got your. You left your axe in my. You left your axe in front of my house, and I say, listen, you left your axe in my house. Do you mind if I use it until you come to get it when you come back from Timbuktu? And he says, sure, no problem. And I say, listen, wait a second. Before I use your axe, would you agree that from the time I pick up your axe to start chopping down my wood until I put it down again, do you please, whatever, I take that back. Did you agree for 60 seconds after I pick up your axe to chop down things in my house, even though I'm going to chop down trees around my house for the next 10 years to come back from Timbuktu, but for the first 60 seconds when I'm picking it up, do you agree to keep your eyes out for me, to look out for any four-leaf clovers where you are in Timbuktu, and if you find them, I'll give you, you know, 50 cents, or I'll, for free, do me a favor. And you say, sure, no problem. So when I pick up the axe, It's Baal of Imo. You're with me because you're working for me for that next 60 seconds looking for the clovers while I'm picking up your axe. And then for the next 10 years, I can chop down trees and if anything happens, it's not my fault. I just want to clear that's what Baal of Imo means. Yeah.
Partners energetically.
Okay, I just.
It goes beyond. It's a metaphysical thing almost. It's not. Okay, fine.
I'm nothing. Even if it's free, even if you're looking for four leaf clovers for me, and if you find any of their mine, I owe you nothing. I'm just making up any case. It's a little strange. So that's the Mishnah. We can end the Mishnah. Yes. So let me. Okay. So now I'll read you what they did. They spent a lot of work on this problem, I guess. I mean, it's a problem. Oh, Medrash Rava. The art scroll. Art scroll is putting on Medrash Rava. So I don't know. That's Rav Lohman's in the middle. So. Right, that's just the Mitzvah. Right, exactly. That, I haven't seen that. I mean, I've seen it, but I haven't looked inside much. Rav Lohman's is doing it. He's doing it through the Medrash. Okay. So here, I'll just tell you. Here's what they say. First, I'll read you. They, as a sales pitch for this great work, even the ones that they're out, they're so good. What they did here is they took up each of the 613 mitzvahs, at least 1 to 71, and in this little box here, they sum up the whole mitzvah in like one little nice fell swoop. It's very good. So this mitzvah they say, mitzvahs din shomer... Shomer chinam, I don't want shomer chinam. Where is it? I opened the wrong page. Which mitzvah was it? I was about to show you the number question. What is Shalom? Okay. Here we go. So, there you go. Same picture. So it says Mitzvah 60, the Mitzvah Din Shoel, and then it says it's a Mitzvah Aseh, to apply the laws of the borrower. The Mitzvah is a Mitzvah, funny. It's a Mitzvah. What's the Mitzvah? The Mitzvah is to apply the laws. It'll be a Mitzvah on Basin, really, to apply those laws. So then it quotes the pasuk, "Ki yishal ish meim reu." A person borrows from his friend, and it brings chapter and verse. So then it's the mitzvah in one sentence. The mitzvah is the Torah establishes the terms of liability for someone who borrows another's possession. This mitzvah calls on Beis Din to apply these rules to any questions that arise. That's the mitzvah. Then it sums up, usually between 5 and 10 bullet points, the whole mitzvah. So here's what it says: the laws of the mitzvah. So here it's 7 laws. It says, a borrower assumes responsibility from the moment he takes the item into his custody, even if he has not yet used it. That's one. Number two, a borrower is responsible for any loss, even if it was unavoidable. Say they took my word. Or I took their word, I don't know. It was unavoidable. Oh, that wasn't my word. My word was avoidable loss. Anyways, yeah, okay. Unless the loss occurred in the course of normal usage, in which case he is exempt. Oh, I should have spoken out to you. What they do is, as they're saying these things, they put little footnotes. And these footnotes are actually long comments. So we've already seen 4 little footnotes there. I'm not going to read them all to you. Then it says, real estate, slaves, and legal documents are not subject to the laws of a borrower. We saw that already in the Mishnah. We've seen these already, right? Remember, we saw those things were exempt as a klal, prat klal setup. Exempt of those things because they're not things that you hand over, literally. So, or they're learned out slaves from like real estate, etc. Then it says, if the owner was in the service of the borrower, this is our one here. If the owner was in the service of the borrower at the time the loan was made, the borrower is not liable for any losses, even those due to negligence. That's our din, and it's just footnote 6 there. I'll go to 6 in a second, but just finishing the whole section here. It says, a borrower may not lend the borrowed item to somebody else, which you've seen already also. And if he did, he's liable for any loss unless he can prove that the loss occurred in the course of normal use by the second borrower, which we also saw. What's nice about this, by the way, at least, is you see the sikkum of the mitzvahs is, we learned this all because we learned the mitzvahs. It at least gives you appreciation of what we're learning is comprehensive in terms of understanding the yesodos of the mitzvah. Then it says, we haven't seen this yet, this will come later on in this parak, the lender can take the item back at any time, unless the loan was made for a specific length of time. And 7, the mitzvah is incumbent upon judges serving in a basin, in all places and in all eras. The laws of borrowing apply equally to men and women. Okay, then each of those things are footnoted. Then it gives a little reason in the sikkum. The reason is the reason that I've been saying over also. See, they took it from me. When a person borrows an object, the benefit is entirely his. When the Torah therefore assigns the borrower virtually all the risks involved. But since he did borrow the item to use it, he is not held responsible for work-related damage. That's their reason. Which stands, everything that's the sequence of what we said. There's that weird PS, which is our Mishnah, which is, well, wait, what's with the Baal of Imo? And that, it gave a footnote, number, what was it? Number six? So then, this is the six. It sums up. Should I read the whole thing to you again? What else? I'll read it to you. Oh, no, I'm not going to read it to you. Okay, then it sums up what I said to you in the Mishnah. And then at the end of it, it says, by the way, the rationale of this law is not immediately clear. Various explanations have been offered by the commentators. Several of these are presented below in the section called Illuminations of the Mitzvah, which I will read to you right now.
You said that you're not
allowed
to loan somebody else.
Right. So even if you give the back to the person,
you're still over
allowed
then.
You'll have a din like a goslin. But are you over a love? It's definitely us, sir. Okay, but hold on. I just want to get to this point today, right now. Okay, one second. So turning to the very end of the thing here, it says, of their 20-page treatment of the subject, so it says, there is another situation in which the borrower is exempt from liability. In this case, even if he was negligent in his duties as a shomer, quote-unquote custodian, and clearly to blame for the loss, he's still responsible. In this case is Baal of Imo. Literally, its owner was with him. In which the object's owner himself was working for the borrower, with or without pay, at the time of the loan. It should be noted that although the Torah mentions this rule only with respect to a borrower, it actually applies to the other custodians as well. And by the way, everything is, if they put parentheses above the Messiah 95a, whatever. I'm skipping that. The logic of this dispensation. It's Shomer Chinam, Shomer Socher, Shoel, and Socher, all of the same than the Baal of Imo. Yeah. Now, the logic of this dispensation is difficult to grasp. They even put a footnote on that sentence, which I think is kind of funny. Chuvos Chavos Yair. So someone else said it's difficult to understand this, in case you were wondering. Why should the owner lose the compensation due to him simply because he was working for the Shomer at the time? Various rationales have been suggested by the commentators, and they give five of them. First of all, we have the Aruch HaShulchan, citing the Sforno. The Aruch HaShulchan says, the Torah assumes that if the owner is working in the service of the Shomer, right, the owner of the lawnmower is already working for the person who's borrowing the lawnmower, the two probably enjoy a warm and constructive relationship, such that the owner would be willing to entrust his item to the Shomer without subjecting him to the liabilities that usually apply to custodians. He expects the item back only to the extent that it is still available to the Shomer at the end of his term of custodianship. So, one approach is, Aruch HaShulchan, based on Sforno, they're friends, and they have a working relationship, literally a working relationship, and therefore, that's indicated by the fact that the person is working for him, and therefore he'd say, okay, if it lost, then I am not holding you responsible for that kind of stuff, for owners or anything.
That only applies.
I understand. All these problems. Yeah, you can definitely imagine exactly where he's his slave, and I understand. That will be the general objection to all these explanations. I'm just telling you, these are the explanations given. Then, alternatively, this is from the Ralbag on the Pasuk in Shmos. The owner is assumed to prefer absolving the borrower. The guy who's doing the working is assumed to say, you're off the hook for everything, because he's also his employer, from any liability, in hope that the borrower will reciprocate with further offers of employment. So Rabag says, listen, now, again, your objection could be, wait a second, he's not employed, he could be doing him a favor. But I understand. I'm receiving that these are the up here. Some can now get the Sefer Chinuch's approach. Some Rishonim have suggested that since the owner is in the employ of the shomer, like I'm borrowing your lawnmower and you're doing me some other favor also, you're also my shoe shiner, and therefore able to care for his object himself. Since you're shining my shoes, you'll keep an eye out for your lawnmower, and you'll be able to object, hey, don't go over there, whatever the story is. It cannot be assumed, but here, that's part A, but here the alumnus is B. It cannot be assumed, therefore, you can't assume that when the transaction happened, that the shomer, the bar of the lawnmower, accepted any responsibilities at the time of the transaction. In other words, Sefer Chinuch is saying, the borrower is saying, I'm off the hook for everything, because like, you're going to have your eyes on it, so you'd be able to object. then it says, although the exemption of Balad Imo applies even after the Shomer has left the service of the, even after the owner has left the service of the Shomer. Meaning, it's true that you're my watching, you're with me today, working in my house, painting the walls, and that's when I'm using your cow outside, but tomorrow I'll continue to use your cow, and you'll be done with painting my walls, so you're talking not there anymore, and therefore this rationale wouldn't apply, because you actually can't wash anymore, you've gone to another painting job. Even so, that's only because it's true, but notwithstanding that, it's only because the Torah wished to establish a consistent rule that does not make subtle distinctions based on the duration of the owner's service. That's Sefer Chinuch. Then you have the Torah Tamima, and also the Rabag says, another suggestion is, the person cannot be someone else's, I don't get this at all, a person cannot be someone else's subordinate and superior at the same time, like on the totem pole. When the loan takes place, the transaction subordinates the borrower to the lender. Right? Like in other words, I'm the guy who owns the capital, I have the loan, so like I'm on top and you're underneath. In the sense that the borrower has now adopted obligations toward the lender. Like I owe you, I'm the borrower of the loan, I like owe you, you know, for your kindness to me, the loan is going bad, not the other way around. So like you're on the upper hand, so to speak. But if the lender is already in the service of the borrower at the time the loan is extended, but if already you are like under me because you're my shoeshine boy, so then it's the lender who's subordinate to the borrower. And like therefore, which one is it? Am I on top of you or are you on top of me? As such, the borrower, who is currently the superior party of the two, because I'm borrowing your thing and you're already my shushan boy, will not sincerely obligate himself to the lender, since the superior does not subjugate himself to his subordinate. This probably makes less sense to the post-enlightenment mind than it did to the pre, you know, caste system, you know, age of the serfs. Just here, understand, it's not that he's making something ridiculous up. He's saying, like, you would never agree. I don't owe you anything. Like, if you're going to agree, you don't have to agree to let me borrow. But if you do, like, I'm not taking on any responsibilities because you're my subordinate. You're like, the society didn't have upper mobility and people were like in a lower. If you're the shushan boy, then I don't, or anything, you're my painter. You're work for me. So then I would never agree to pay you back for anything. That's his mindset.
The owner is the original.
No, step one is the owner's the guy who tends, he's my shepherd, and so you're under me, and then I say, oh, do you mind if I borrow your blanket for my guest, so I would never agree to pay you back something wrong, you're my shepherd, so then if the blanket then goes and gets lost, stolen, damaged, whatever, I'm putter for you. So the lumbus is, I would never agree to anything to you, because you're my underling. That's his explanation. That's the roadblock there. And then finally, you have Rav Hirsch, which is maybe similar, I think, along the lines of Yitzchak more than other ones, which is, the Torah assumes that when one places himself at another person's disposal, I'm agreeing to work for you, and then entrust some object to that person, and then I say, oh, I'll work for you, and I'll also let you borrow my phone, he does not expect to receive better terms for the object than he has received for himself. We're partners in this. It's a little more abstract. Now, what does that mean? He doesn't say what that means. I'm your worker, and I'm in charge. I'm your chef. I'm your personal chef in your kitchen, and you've borrowed my phone. Now, since an employer is not responsible legally for the personal welfare of his worker, if while you're chopping in my kitchen, you chop off your finger, I don't have to compensate you. You're a cook. You have to be careful, right? Or whatever it is. It's not my fault if you burn yourself on the stove. So even if the worker is injured on the job, there's no reason to assume that the employer would accept a greater responsibility when taking the worker's property into his care. In other words, since I don't have to pay for you, if something bad happens to you in my kitchen, I'm certainly not going to now take on more responsibility if I borrow your phone and something goes wrong with your phone. That's for purchases, I understand. So it's since we have a pre-existing relationship, the relationship is, you know, you work for me and I'm not responsible for things that happen to you. That's responsible for things that happen to you, even on the job. So I'm not going to take responsibility now. Pitom, I'm for your phone. If I'm not responsible for your person,
I'm
not.
The second case of the mission, not the first case.
Where the choice was already happening. Yeah, agree. Okay, agree.
It doesn't really work so much, but you borrowed, and by the way, can you find some acorns for me? And
right, well, I made some funny cases just to show you how extreme the case would be, but indeed. So those are answers we left with. That's the best that they could do that I could
can
do.
Can we also just say that when the Torah itself is talking about a scenario, it's talking about a reasonable amount of time,